Good morning. So it's good to see your beautiful faces this morning. So Eric asked me to open this morning, and I've thought about it this week, and it's like, okay, I came this morning thinking I don't have anything. So, but something that these two words have been coming up a lot this week, and those two words are love language. What is our love language individually? We learn our love languages to be married. We learn our love languages in our families. But something that we don't always think about is that God has a love language. Our Father in heaven has a love language that he gives to us, but that he also has, and he wants us to fill for him. And that love language is our worship and our surrender. When we surrender to him in worship, oh my goodness, his heart is overflowing, and he's reaching there and smothering us with as much love as we're pouring out to him. So this morning, as we're worshiping, just know that you are doing what God wants you to do, and it glorifies him. But not only that, it blesses his heart to the nth degree. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift this service to you, Lord. Lord, we lift our worshiping hands and hearts to you, Lord. Anything that comes against us while we're trying to worship, Lord, we know you will scuttle, and that the enemy has no power when we lift our hands, when we lift our hearts, and when we lift our voices. Lord, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the ability to be here in this service. Lord, lift hearts today. Let us not leave here unchanged. And we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
All right. Salvation in your name. would you start now? Never gonna let me down. You're my living hope, Jesus, you're my living hope. Why would you start now?
For me, and God has been teaching me to wait on Him this week. I have 3 clients that I need to move within this week and next week, and every single exception to the rule that I needed to have come through, which are hard to get as a social worker, came through. They came through last minute because God was waiting for me to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to trust you in this. And He has never let me down in any of these. I've got all 3 contracts to move these people to safer environments. But I had to wait, and I had to wait till like the last minute. But it was an amazing experience in the fact that when I finally said, okay, Lord, whatever your decision is, I'll rest in that. And they came through. And I just want to tell y'all that because there are things that we are waiting on and we want now. We need to do, what do we got to do to make it happen now when God is just telling us, worship me, rest in me, I won't let you down. There is something for you, but I need you to wait.
You did. how you love me with all of your heart, all of your soul.
Oh, how 5. It has this crazy verse. It says that, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just think about that. While we were rejecting him, while we were denying him, while we were cursing him, he died for us. Another verse says this, that God demonstrates his love for you. God demonstrates his love for you. He's demonstrated his love for you by dying, by stretching out his hands, by having his hands and his feet pierced. Jesus, we're so thankful for loving us. And Lord, yes, we get to experience your love sometimes with amazing feelings in our hearts and goosebumps and seeing you bless our lives and seeing your hand of provision, your hand of mercy, your hand of grace, your hand of health, your hand of life. But Lord, most of all, you demonstrated your love for us by dying. You took our place, Lord, while we were yet sinners that were deserving of the punishment that sin brings. You took our place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that love. for demonstrating your love, for releasing your love to us. And Father, right now we just receive that love, that perfect love in our hearts and our lives right now. We receive, Lord, everything that you have in our lives, Lord, to demonstrate your love to us. And we thank you, Jesus, for being the one that showed us how much you love us, how much the Father loves us, how much the Holy Spirit loves us, how much the Son, the Word, loves us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. You've given us the opportunity to love you back through that love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you love me. Oh, how you love me. Oh, how you love me. Show you things that don't make sense, and your world gets turned upside down, and your loved ones are on the verge of death, and your finances are in the toilet, that he loves us. He loves us. And that's what really matters. If we can keep that perspective that we're loved, we can go through anything. John, the disciple, realized how much he loved, and he was loved. How much Jesus loved him that he stood at the foot of the cross and he watched his Lord being crucified while all the other disciples ran away. He was able to stand there because he realized he was loved. He went through even the death of his best friend, the death of his Savior, the death of his Lord, the death of Messiah because he was loved. Love will never fail. That's why we'll never fail. And if we can receive God's love, I believe we can be ones that never fail because we have the power of the love of God working in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's so good to be back. Gay and I will talk in a couple moments. Why don't you take a while in a few minutes and welcome and join each other in a love hug. They said in the Bible to have a holy kiss. I've kind of stayed away from that. But anyway, just greet each other and love on each other. God bless you.
Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new horizon. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new horizon.
Check, check. All right. Find your seat. Find your seat. Find your seat. Good morning, church. Good morning. It's another beautiful Sunday morning. Amen? Awesome. So we are going to... we are going to do our declarations. We're going to continue praying for our city, believing for good things for our city. Amen. God has not forgotten about the city of Yakima. So, Sky, you can put that first slide up. So, why don't you guys stand with me? Where I did say, find your seat. Yep, that's correct. All right, here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Give it up for Jesus. God, I thank you so much that you love our city. I just pray that you would continue blessing our city. You'd bless the Yakima Valley as a whole. And we just release, Lord, your kingdom, Lord, over this land, over this region. And we thank you so much that we get to be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I think the only announcement we have is giving. So thank you guys for giving. And you guys all know how to do that. So I don't think I need to go through all the hoops and stuff. Our pastors are back. How many of you guys are glad that Pastor Mike and Gaylene are back? We missed them. We love them. They're going to come up for a quick second and tell us some stuff.
Wait till Gang gets here. So I think you guys, most of you know that you sent us to a tiny cabin, tiny home, very tiny. The first night Gay goes, I don't know if we can do this, but they were really nice. It's called glamping. So they have a wonderful bed. Actually, I fit completely in the bed. My feet didn't hang off and I could lay flat out in it. I was so happy. Yeah. But Gay had to, with her leg, she had to, we had to finagle a couple of things, but all in all, we had a wonderful time. We went, what? That's not a word. Finagle? It
look
is.
It up. Somebody look it up.
Finagle is a word. Yeah, it is. You finagled this. What?
Jesse,
yeah. It basically means to, tweak and work with something so that it will work. Jesse's saying, yeah, it is. So you have to be old enough to use Finagle. Oh, gotcha. Oh, gotcha. So it was 12 days, and it was a wonderful time. We went to see, close to Mount Adams, and we got to go on walks, and we played a lot of Scrabble and cribbage, and she reminded me how to play Rummy, and for the first 5 days, she beat me at all games. I said, it must be because it's your birthday, and she just kept beating me and beating me, and so I finally said, she goes, are you going to give up and quit? And I said, no, I've got to start winning, so I finally did. But you want to say something, too, about it?
Anytime we go away, we don't ever not do Jesus. I mean, that's just who we are. And we went to this first Sunday, we went to this little community church. And we're talking little community church. And it had wooden pews.
Hymnals.
And they sang out of hymnals. But I will tell you, they love Jesus. Mm-hmm. I talked to a couple of the ladies, which happened to be mother and daughter, and they were the ones that led the singing time. And it's wonderful to go away and still have a connection with somebody because of Jesus.
Exactly.
It's not like you're ever really a stranger when they have Jesus and you have Jesus.
Yes.
And so we went to this little community church. I'm going to just share about all of our church experiences, okay, baby. Just give me a second. And then the next Sunday, we had gone back to our house in Tri-Cities and did laundry, restocked, did all of that stuff. And we went to a church down there in Tri-Cities, and it was the lights, camera, action kind of a church, where everything's turned low, but there's shining lights going everywhere. And but they love Jesus. And so, there's a connection, automatically a connection. Two very different experiences.
Yeah.
But they love Jesus. And so the very last Sunday that we went to church, we went with Angel and Lorena and Aaron and his wife, Emily, precious, sweet kids. And that church was precious. Like, it was just precious. Their heart of worship was so strong, and it almost felt like home. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It almost felt like we were with y'all, and that made my heart very happy. So, So anywhere we go, we never go without the Lord. I mean, he's with us. He is us, and we're in him, and it was precious. So it was really nice to be able to get a break, but we did miss you guys so much, and we're happy to be home. Continue to pray for Mike's mom. She's still in the hospital, and I think we're over the crisis, so pray that the Lord find a good place for her to be able to go get rehabilitation, and
Yeah, and we want to thank everyone who has participated in us going. And for those of you who have supported Eric and Nancy, we want to thank Eric and Nancy and the family so much for holding this load down. Some may think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Well, it is. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of wheels that are turning, a lot of things that are going on. People need, service and love and ministry too. So thank you guys. We love you so much. And we're excited to see what the Lord's got for us this fall, this year coming up. And so, Father, we just thank you for your perfect will being done, Lord, in all of our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that's covering each and every one of us. And I bless this house. I bless every family, those present, those that are away. Lord, I ask you just continue to enrich them in just an amazing way, Lord, that only, as only you can, by your Spirit, by your grace, by the gifts of the Spirit, by the wisdom and the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Awesome. Well, we're glad to have them back for many reasons, mostly because I don't want to water the grass anymore. But no, I'm joking. I'm going to invite my wife up. She's actually going to be giving the word today. And go ahead, come up, babe. And she, you guys can clap for Nancy. She likes the attention. She really doesn't. but something you guys don't know about my Nancy is that maybe some of you do. You can sit. Take a seat. She's very fiery, and has a lot to say when it comes to the Lord. Also, she can get a little bit shy, and so she told me, she's like, I wish you were up here speaking with me, but I'm actually doing a greater task. I'm gonna go take the kids downstairs. So pray for me. I just believe that Nancy has a word for us, for this house, and I know my wife well enough to know that she is in her word and it's in her heart. And so I just want to pray for you and bless your spirit. Lord, I thank you for the words that you have instilled in Nancy. I thank you, Lord, that she is a willing vessel, an open and willing vessel for you today, Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that through her obedience, Lord, to release what is on her heart today, God, that not only is she going to bless this house, but she herself will be blessed. So we thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for this woman of God. And we just release, God, all that you have for her in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hi, guys. Wow. It's a lot more full today. This is different. It's nice to see all of you guys. Ooh, just trying to shake off my nerves. This is not my place. I like talking about Jesus, but in one-on-one conversations or with people, just naturally, the mic closer. Is that better? Okay. So I gotta make out with the mic, huh? Yep. Okay. Okay. I will try to do that. All right. So yes, Eric talked to me a couple days ago and had asked me if I would take on the word, and I reluctantly said, maybe, let me see what God has. And lo and behold, God is always faithful, right? He knows what he's doing. and he dropped something in my spirit. So God has been kicking me in the pants for a long time now on a lot of things. And one, this thing in particular has just been really fun to walk through with him.
Closer.
Dang it. Okay, I'll get better at this, guys. And that is, a lot of things. Let me just pray for a second. I'm going to get myself in the mindset of Jesus, because the one thing I never want to do is I never want my own agenda to happen. I'm really big on making sure that I'm an open vessel for the Lord and that he's speaking through me. And I'll tell you, I've been going through and I kept wanting to do this one message. And in all honesty, it's because it was safe. It was something that I've done already. I talked to our youth about it. It's something I'm very passionate about. But the Lord kept bringing me to Hebrews 12 instead. And I was like, I don't want to do that one. But he's so good and he's so faithful. So Lord, I just declare your goodness over this room today, Father, that you would be with me, that you would slow me down, that you would speak through me, God. Yes, that you would be my Aaron. God, that you would speak whatever it is that you have for this congregation today, Lord, that it would be received well in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we were going through today, it's so fun because one of the things that I wanted to start with was the Garden of Gethsemane, because it's such a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place to stay in your word. It's Luke 22, if any of you guys want to get there. I'm just going to read it to you first because it's going to give context for where I'm going. So it says, Jesus left the upper room with his disciples and was, as was his habit, he went to the Mount of Olives, his place of secret prayer. So that's important, you guys. This is one thing that I cannot tell my kids enough, is that God, Jesus, was fully man and fully God. But he, him being fully man, he received temptations. He was tempted. He had flesh just the same as us. The difference is that he continued. When he felt weak, when he felt like he wanted to succumb to those things that felt good to do, even though it wasn't right, he went and he fasted and he prayed constantly. There was many, many times in scripture where it says Jesus left the crowd and he went and prayed to the Father. And I believe that that is such a significant thing for us to hold on to, is to learn to, when we start feeling weak in ourselves and the things that we do, that we get to a place where we stop whatever it is that we're doing and we pray. We go to that secret place with the Lord and we lay those things down to him and we find out his perspective on this thing. Okay. So right now, to set you guys up, the Garden of Gethsemane, for if anybody doesn't know, this is like the last little bit of freedom Jesus has before he's going to go and serve the mission that he came for, which is to die for us. And it's not just an easy death. This is a brutal, long-suffering thing that he had to go through. So there he told his apostles, keep praying for strength to be spread from the severe test of your faith that is about to come. Okay. Then he withdrew from them a short distance to be alone, which is like a stone throw away. He didn't go very far. He just went a few steps away just to be alone. Okay, Father, if you are willing, take this cup of agony from me, but no matter what, your will must be mine. So, again, he's praying and he's telling his disciples, I need you to be at the ready. I need your spirits to be awakened. I need you to be on guard. I need your flesh to be submitted to your spirit, because testing's coming. Wasn't it Peter who got tested? And God told him, you're gonna deny me three times. And he said, no way, no way. But he did, because he wasn't obedient. He continued to fall asleep because he was tired. He succumbed to the flesh, right? All right, so Jesus is praying, and he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup of agony from me. Oh, no, I just restarted it. Hold on. Thanks. It went on. Okay. If you are willing, take this cup of agony from me, but no matter what, your will must be mine. And that's super important. I want you guys to grasp this, because there are things that we're asked to do or that we need to do, and they're not going to be easy, and we want them to be taken away. We don't want to have to be the ones to do them. Even Jesus had things that he did not want to do, but he knew God. He asked God. He was so, he had his moment of like, I really don't want to do this. I love these people. I do, but I don't want to. So God, if you can think of anything else, if there's any other way, take this away from me. However, nonetheless, no matter what, your will has to be done, so I'll do it. Okay. Jesus called for an angel of glory to strengthen him, and the angel appeared, and he prayed even more passionately, like one being sacrificed. Okay. Until he was in such intense agony of spirit that his sweat became drops of blood dropping onto the ground. Can you guys imagine being so tormented by an idea, so stirred up, so worried that something wasn't going to happen, or that something was going to happen, and you knew you didn't want to do it, that you were praying until your sweat became blood? You guys, we have worries. We have things happening right now in our world that make us scared, that cause us to be anxious. I've never met so many kids that are dealing, even from good homes, Christian homes, and that are dealing, even my own daughter has had bouts with anxiety. It is running rampant in our world right now. Right? I have a point, I promise. But if we could just slow down and begin to discipline our flesh and to begin to pray, just by getting into our place of prayer with the Lord, right? To just give these things to him with such passion that we would pray for strength, right? Jesus prayed for strength first to be able to do this thing. Like, if you could do it any other way, please do, but then give me strength because Lord knows I need it. And then God was faithful. He sent an angel, so he is faithful, right? God is always faithful. I don't think he wanted his son to have to be the sacrifice any more than Jesus wanted to be. But it was important that he was, because we need it. God's sacrifice is what allows us to have the freedoms that we have. It's what allows us to be able to love him wholeheartedly and come to him without being perfect. We get to be in the throne room with God, just as we are. Even if we've done something wrong for the day, doesn't mean God won't address that in us and bring conviction, right? But if nothing else, we get to go to him. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to sacrifice all these things first and do all these, like, we just get to, I mean, stop in the moment and say, God, I need you right now. I am struggling. And we forget that. Like, it's so easy. I'll give you an example. Like right now, Eric and I were contending right now in faith for God to move in a big way. We have both, within the last month, lost our jobs, and we're just riding on the coattails of faith right now. Just, you know, God, I need you. And we are fasting and praying and believing because I know he's faithful, right? I know he's faithful. But it doesn't mean that there aren't moments that come where the pit of my stomach kind of drops and I'm like, okay, rent is due. What are you going to do, Lord? The school payments are due. What are you going to do, Lord? Our car payment is due. Father, we need food. But I'll tell you, it's been starting with the little stuff and I just love it because I'm slowing down. I know, Lord. Okay. God has been so faithful, because these things are not new to me and Eric. Ever since we chose the journey of faith with the Lord and to pick up ministry as our calling instead of the other things that we thought we wanted to do, there's been testing of our faith over and over again. And the testing is never different. It's always money. And when money doesn't get us down, which it hasn't, it goes to sickness. But it always skips me and it goes straight to my kids. And I'll tell you what, the enemy I think wouldn't have learned by now, but today he tried to touch my little girl. She woke up with a fever that was climbing and she was completely just uncomfortable. She couldn't sleep hardly last night. She was wanting to puke. So I put her in the bath and we started laying hands on her. We all prayed over her. And then I asked her, I said, do you want to lay here and rest, which is fine. Absolutely. I give you permission. Or do you want to try to do an act of faith, a prophetic act, in believing that, you know what, we're going to go to church today. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try. And I'm going to let the Lord meet me. And on the way there, we're going to test it and just see. As the closer that we get, I believe that you're going to feel better and better and better. And she said, Mom, I want to do that. I said, okay, only if you want to. Said, well, but you walk around the house first and try it and see how you feel. And as she was walking, she's like, Mom, my tummy feels kind of funny. I was like, I know, baby, that's okay. So if you want, we can rest. So she's like, no, I think we need to be at church today. I said, okay, all right then. So we're going to get our shoes on. We're going to do this. And as we did, I mean, it was like as soon as she got up out of that bed and then she got her shoes on, the fever went away. It was completely gone in Jesus' name. It went down from 101 to 98. Like, it was amazing. And then she's like, Mommy, my body doesn't hurt anymore. My tummy still feels kind of funny, but my body doesn't hurt anymore. And I said, okay, great. So, I mean, I think even I was kind of wondering, am I pushing her too hard? Am I doing the wrong thing? But she in her own, because I gave her an out. I said, you are more than welcome to just lay here and rest. I absolutely get it. However, I know, because here I am, I knew I was bringing the word today, and I didn't want to. I'll be honest. I was kind of scared, because this scares me. But so when she woke up sick, I was not surprised. I was like, oh, it makes so much sense. Because when I'm standing out in faith, anytime I stand out in faith, money hasn't gotten me. Bills that need to be paid hasn't deterred me from the Lord. But when you mess with my kids, that might distract me a little bit. However, it got me for like 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, no. So I pulled up a chair for the enemy to watch. And I said, you're going to watch as I pray over my little girl. And you're going to watch as God does his thing. Because no matter what you come at me again or come against me with, God is going to prevail. Even if she stays sick in the bed all day, I don't care. I'm still going to sing praises to my King, and I'm still going to have joy for today. You guys, it's so important to make sure that we are stopping things and that we're praying and that we're giving our concerns to the Lord first. Because I promise you, it gives him a chance to show off and to do what he does best, which is love us, right? And sometimes that love looks like discipline. So in Hebrews 12, here's the original scripture God gave me. I don't know where we're going today, but just bear with me. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily snares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. You guys, no matter what comes against us, we still have yet not had such a weight that we're shedding blood in our worry, right? Okay. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline, basically. I'll change the word. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So if he didn't correct us, like this season that I'm in right now, and I think the reason why God is bringing this to my heart is because I was at, like, God, I was in, at the end of myself at one point. I was like, Lord, if I'm doing something wrong that I'm not aware of, unbeknownst to me, search me, know me, and expose me, please. Correct me. And part of it is my stinking thinking that we've been talking about, because even though I'm proclaiming these things internally, my mind sometimes, I have doubt. And doubt started to kind of come because I was like, oh, it's getting closer and things still haven't happened. Little things have happened. Big things have happened. Like, I'll tell you, some financial miracles have been, we got somebody who called us and said that they wanted to pay my daughter's first month of school. We signed Skyly up for Riverside in faith because she wanted to go. And we went to Bethel 4 years. And God paid every single time. I didn't know how he was going to do it. We were able to eat, even though one dinner was cake. We slept in a parking lot part of the time because we didn't have anywhere to go. But God was faithful through all of that, you guys. And he's going to be faithful now. If he can do it then, he can do it now. Right? And by golly, if I have to fast until I have no fat on my bones, and if I have to pray until I am sweating blood, I will, because I refuse to not be a son of the King. You guys, we need to take on our legitimacy, our sonship, our daughtership, and believe in him, stand firm in his promises, and trust that he can do the things that he says that he can do. And when he disciplines us, when he takes us through these things, because there's more in here, and it talks about, I'm going to paraphrase, when we go through these hard times, it's because he loves us that he allows us to go through these hard times, not because he hates us. It's actually that disciplining us, being able to pull us and draw us closer to him. And I'll be honest, when I wasn't going through this season, I kind of let up a little bit on some of my the things that I tell my kids all the time. Put on your armor of God daily so that you can go against the schemes of the devil. I didn't have my armor on. I wasn't prepared prior to the season because I had gotten lazy. I hung it up. It was there. I could see it all the time. I might have prayed it here and there, but I was not steadfast in putting on my armor of the Lord. To know that when this thing came, it didn't take me by surprise. Instead, it took me out for a minute. And then I had to, oh my gosh, I have this. So then I had to put my armor on and be ready for the season that was coming. And, you know, God's not a microwave God. It's no wonder he's really about that 11th hour and change. Like, he likes to get you right there to the very last moment, like Mom said. It's the last moment, like nothing. I mean, there was nothing else that could be done, and by golly, it came through, right? God is all about that because he wants us to come to the end of ourselves and be dependent on him. It is so important that we are depending on the Lord in all things, not just the good things, which I love. I love when I get to celebrate him. I love when I get to tell about all the good things that he does, but I've been better about exposing myself and telling when bad things are happening or like things that don't feel so good, because there's a book I want to write called The Ish They Don't Tell You in Ministry, which is all the in-between stuff. Like, we hear testimony and testimony, but we don't hear what their testimony was derived from, what struggles we had to go through in order to get there. Like right now, I'm struggling, fasting and believing. Not by myself. I have prayer warriors in my corner because I believe. Like, I want when God comes through, because I know he's going to, and he already has, and time again, and I'll tell you more about that. But I want for the world to be able to see his glory. I want the world to be able to celebrate with me when God comes through. Amen. And how can they do that if I'm only giving them half of the testimony? I don't want them to see me like, you know, not getting my hair done and being, oh, you know, woe is me. He says, no, you know, make yourself up, do yourself like you would, and walk through the day in faith, knowing that I'm going to come for you, that I'm going to be there, even when it doesn't feel like it. So I'm dressing myself every day, even though I want to just lay down in bed, because sometimes I do, I get really weak and I'm like, I don't really want to do today because I don't have an answer. But then I'm like, okay, I got to get my big girl pants on. I'm going to, if Jesus can still say yes to the cross, even though he sweat blood, knowing, and he asked the Lord to take that from him, how much more can I do this? This is so little in comparison, you guys. The things that we're going through in our day-to-day life is so much less in comparison. People saying mean things on the internet, which they do all the time. People saying mean things to your face, not fully understanding our decisions as Christians. You know, it's we're called to a higher standard. We're called to be aware, protect our heart, guard our heart, because from it flows the springs of life, right? Or so it should. So when we're speaking, are we preparing ourselves first? Are we going before the Lord? Are we praying and laying those things down at him? Or are we taking it out on the people around us? Are we walking uprightly and making sure that even when people are being mean to us and doing wrong things, as Jesus was persecuted, his disciples wanted to do the action, wanted to go against the soldiers, not Jesus. He told them, no, it's not time yet. We'll have our time. But even in the Word, God says, it's Romans 12. Love this chapter, you guys. You guys have to read Romans 12. It's all about what it looks like to be set apart for the Lord and to do the things that God asks us to do. And part of that is to make sure that we are, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head, because vengeance is mine. He says before that, vengeance is mine. Don't play on their, don't get on their playing level. No, you kill them with kindness. You do the things that they need. And in due time, my vengeance will come. My justice will come. And I will have what's needed and what is right. And I will get payment for that. So I hope this is making sense. Are you guys tracking with me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I feel I'm so heavy in this room, you guys. And this word is just as much for me as it is for you guys. I don't know if anybody here is struggling with anything that feels weighty in their life right now, but if you are, I would love to have an opportunity to pray for you. Because I don't want to go through these things alone. I want to make sure that we're doing, that's the blessing of this whole Christianity life, is that we have, and especially here in America, we have the right and the privilege of being able to get together and gather. What a privilege, but yet most, we don't always treat it that way. It's like, oh, I gotta go to church today, but I would really rather sleep in. And then we forget, no, actually it's us to be set apart. Yeah, it sucks to have to get up a little bit earlier. This is no rebuke. I'm telling you, I'm the same way, guys. I do it. There's days when I wake up, I'm like, I just want to be here. Please say that something's wrong so I don't go. And it's not because I don't love being with the Lord. It's just because I'm tired. And I've had this and that and the other going on all through the week, being mom, being wife, being, you know, worker, whatever I have to do, that it's like, oh, I don't want, and it becomes another thing. But what if we were to start walking as Jesus did, where we get excited about making God part of our day, even in the extra little step of having to do something a little bit more, the sacrifice of having to get up a little bit earlier, coming, being around people, even though we've been around people all week. But it's our job to be able to iron each other, right? To be able to lift each other up, to be able to pray for each other, to be able to be exposed to one another and vulnerable to each other, saying, you know what, this is where I'm struggling this week. Can you please be praying for me? This is where we get this privilege. You guys, there's countries that don't get that privilege. They're underground. They have to find means to be able to celebrate and lift up their voices together in unison, in covering. We get to do it in broad daylight wherever we want. So far, what a privilege. So let's use it. I think God is trying to wake us up right now, because right now our country needs him more than ever, you guys. There's so much going on, so many rights that are kind of being pulled at a little bit. And this isn't meant to be political, just so you guys know. I'm just saying, even in, like me as a teacher, some of the, nope, okay, Lord, we're gonna leave that. Because this isn't political. God is not, he is aware of politics. He's asked us to serve our country and to obey the laws, right? Unless they're asking you to go against God's law, then that's when we get to be like Daniel and we get to pray anyway and we get to do these things anyway, right? As long as they're honoring and pleasing to the Lord. Okay. I promise I'm landing. I want to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. In these moments of struggle, our vulnerability, I want for us, church, to be different. You know, we gather from week to week, and I want us to be different. I want to start seeing the miracles happen again. I want to be able to pray with you guys when you guys are stressing. I want to be prayed with when I'm stressing, because when we stress and have anxiety, it's not unnatural, but the more time that we spend there, because that stress and anxiety doesn't do anything except for distract us from God's vision, God's perspective of the situation. Because now we're like stressing about this and that, and it doesn't change our circumstance. So why not worship instead? It doesn't mean that you can't be a little bit scared. It doesn't mean that you can't be worried about it, but don't stay there. Process it. Give it to the Lord. Begin to worship and say his name, Jesus, 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 until the peace or the joy comes. Because you guys, living a joy-filled life, now, it doesn't mean that it's happy. Joy is not happiness. Joy is a lifestyle that we get to choose to pick up despite what's going on around us. It's not in denial. Bill Johnson says to live a lifestyle of joy is not being in denial of those hard things that are happening around you, but instead it's choosing to get your big kid pants on and doing what we know is good anyway. Choosing joy. It's a choice. It's a gift of the Spirit. God gave us the ability to walk in joy despite our kids being sick, despite our bodies not feeling very good, despite money not coming in when we think it should, despite losing a job, despite a family member passing away. It doesn't mean that you guys, that we can't have those emotions, but making sure that we're laying them down, that we're doing as Jesus did. And when we're feeling weakened, that we are choosing to set ourselves aside, get in our prayer rooms, and give it to the Lord so that he can give us his perspective and we can have that oomph to get through the rest of that day and the next step and the next step. And when we feel weakened, it doesn't matter if you feel weak 100 times a day, do it. Take a potty break. Go in your throne room. That's my throne room because it's the only place I can go with. I actually have to do it with the door open because I have a little boy who likes to be everywhere mommy is. But I don't care because he gets to see me. He gets to see me walk this out. You guys, I want the world to see us not as these like only like these Christians, like the world views Christians as, oh, nothing's so bad. Like you guys have it all good. And because they have it all twisted, because we seem to think that we have to just put our best face forward all the time and not be vulnerable to the people around us, letting them in on the full side of the testimony. Good. Yeah? Good. Praying with them. Like when you hear people are struggling, instead of like, oh, you know, trying to one-up them with what's going on in our life, but instead like, hey, can I pray for you? I would really love to pray for you right now. Or, hey, you know what? I'm actually struggling in a similar way. Can we pray together? So then they can see, like, Christians are not perfect. We have challenges. We have things that are rough in our life. And by golly, like, it's not easy. And I'm so tired of being looked at like my life is easy. Because it's not. God promises it's not going to be. That brings me joy. I am so thankful that I have a stress-ridden things going on around me because it keeps me humble. And it allows me to be in constant closeness with the Lord, you guys. Because if I didn't have these hard things going on, life would be too easy. And he would become something that is just a checkbox, like something that I just check off. And I never, if there's one thing that I don't want, is for me and my children and my children's children to grow up thinking that God is just a box to be checked. I want my heart to be linked to his so much so that he's crying with me, that he's rejoicing with me, that he is, that so much so that he becomes the new restaurant that I can't wait to tell somebody about because I see that they're struggling. I'm like, guess what? I have a hope for you. Why don't you come to church with me? There's some great people in these walls that could love you in this moment. I know, and you don't have to be perfect. Guess what? I'm not. But Jesus still welcomed me. Giving our testimony, it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we're going to make a difference in this city, that we're going to make a difference in this world, that we're going to make a difference in our families' lives. Because if we are willing to give out and pour out from these places of strife and be willing to embrace our brothers and sisters, whether they believe in God or not, but being there for them in love instead of rebuking them when they're doing things wrong. Rebuking is not wrong. Let me speak. It is okay to bring correction when Holy Spirit gives you the ability. But if he's not giving you and telling you to do it, it is not for you to say so. Because if we can't do it in love, if we're not ready, he will not give you the go. So we have to watch that tongue, guard our hearts, right? Make sure that you're being told when to speak. And when people are being awful to you, it does not give us the right to be awful back. Like Jesus, he was being beaten. He was spit at, mocked, gambled over, completely naked and exposed to the world. And yet he still said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. And I do not want to leave this world until I know that I can do that. That I can look my enemies in the face, the people who have laughed at my circumstances or said, oh, you don't know. You're white privilege. Okay. Those things hurt. And I'm here to tell you guys, like just because I love God doesn't mean that my life doesn't get difficult. But I want us to become different. I want us to be the difference in this city. I want us to be able to bring these things and give our testimonies and be able to walk out and show people, just because you're struggling, I get it. You're absolutely allowed to struggle, but let's do it together. And let me show you how to get out of this. Let me show you how to put on a new perspective so that you can have a perspective of hope. And so that God can show himself off to you. What else do you have? I mean, it can't hurt, right? If he's not real, then you'd have nothing to worry about. But like really just being able to bring him back into the perspective that he should be in, which is he should be the first and foremost, the first thing that we go to, not the last resort. He should be given in love, not in, I told you so, you know, or if only. He's not an if only. He's a here, let's put on perspective of joy. Let's get some peace. Does that make sense, you guys? So if any of you right now want to be that difference and want to change, will you just stand with me? If you want to be the difference in your city, if you guys want to be the difference in your workplaces, the difference in your family's homes, stand with me because I just want to pray. I want you to put your arms out, submissive before the Lord, and allow him just to fill you right now. So God, I thank you. I thank you for being our example. Lord, I thank you for giving us Jesus. God, I thank you. Ooh. For giving us your word to be able to teach us, to be able to read, Father, so that we can become more like you. God, I pray that you would help us to become the difference. Father, that you would discipline us, Lord, and teach us how to receive that discipline with love and respect, God, and not shy away from you, God, but that you would pull us in closer. Lord, that you would begin to just do a work in our lives, Father, that causes us to turn to you wholeheartedly, Father. Lord, that you would ignite the fire, the little, even whether it's little or big, God, that it would grow even more inside of us, God, that we would begin to catch fire around us, Lord. Yes. God, that every move that we make would be from a place of love, not from a place of vengeance, God. That we would walk around in offensive positions, not defensive ones anymore, Lord. We lay our lives to you. God, I pray for that you would give each and every one of us opportunity, Lord, to show you in this season, God, in this week, as we go out into our workplaces, as we go out into the community, as we go out into our loved ones' homes, Father, that you would give us the opportunity to exercise you and how you would do things in these situations, Lord, that we would make the difference, Father, that we'd begin to love on the people around us because of the fire that you have put in us, God. Lord, I want to make the enemy cower. I want him to know that he's lost. God, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are constant. I thank you that you are matchless in every way. God, I pray just favor over every family, every individual in this house today, Lord. I pray that you would bless them in mighty, mighty ways. God, you know what they need. God, you know what provisions they need. You know what which angels to send and what people they need in their corner, God. And I just pray, Father, that you would show yourself in a mighty, mighty way this week. God, that miracles would begin to happen around each and every one of us individuals in this house. Lord, that we would, as we go out and do these things, that your favor would fall in our workplaces, that people would begin to come to us, Lord, and become, like, just begin to notice the difference in us, Lord, that you would make such a change in our hearts that people would want, what is that difference in you? Why are you able to be happy right now? That you would give us opportunity to share our testimony in Jesus' name. Lord, I bless you. I give this time to you. I thank you, Father. I thank you for everything that you've endured so that I could have relationship with you. I thank you, Jesus, that you sweat blood and chose to get on that cross so that I can come to you unperfect and unclean, so that I could still have relationship with you that is raw and that is real and not disconnected, that I can look upon your face and see your glory. God, I thank you that you are so loving, and that you come through even when I fall short, Lord. So Jesus,
for Joanne and Ken, God. I pray, Lord, that you would be with them as their healing, Lord. That in their healing process, you would be glorified, Jesus. That their healing would happen in leaps and bounds, God. That when Ken goes in to get his sutures removed, Father, that the nurses would have no choice but to call out your name and say, hallelujah. I don't know how this corrected, but Jesus, it must be Jesus, because it wasn't us, Lord, that the things in his brain, Father, would be corrected. And I thank you, Father, for the nurses and the doctors that you gave both Joanne and Ken, Lord, to do the work that they did to help bring about the healing, God. I thank you, and I just pray a blessing over the nurses and the doctors that are handling their care, Father, that you would continue to give them wisdom and the tenacity and the zeal to keep working and keep doing these things, even though they're working, the work that they're doing, Father, is being judged by others, Lord. I pray, Father, that you, I thank you. I thank you for them, and I just pray abundance and blessing over them, energy, Father, to continue the work that they're doing, to help in the healing that's happening, Father. And I also pray for miraculous things to happen in their healing as well, God, that you would be glorified in all of this process. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. And thanks. It was God. Thanks.
Yeah.
Creation grows for God's